Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Some shows talk about one team.
Other shows barely talk sports. This show
will talk Packers,
yeah!
Brewers,
yeah!
And Bucks.
Every day. This show will talk sports every day.
It's Wisconsin Sports Daily
with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer
on 1250 AM The Fan.
How about it? It is Wisconsin Sports Daily, and it is show number one. Monday, April 15th, 2024, and we are here and we are doing this, and I myself am still in a little bit of shock that it's actually happening. I gotta be honest, I still can't believe that I'm doing this show right now and talking with you and taking callers and tweets, and it's so much fun. And again, if you didn't hear, March 4th, we started another local show before we got this one going here today, and that's, again, the Potawatomi Sportsbook Pro Hoops postgame show served up by Wendy's. That's after every Bucks game. So when the playoffs get going here again on Sunday, we'll be on right after that game. If you've missed any of them, you can go right to the Odyssey app and listen to them there. Go to 1250amthefan.com. You can listen to the shows there as well. I've had a lot of fun. We try to get a guest on every postgame show as well. I saw Rohan Kadi was on Friday night from the Eurostep podcast. He was on with Toby Altizer. Y'all remember Toby Altizer, right? He used to host the Fan Afternoon Show back in the day. Was producing for Bart Winkler's show in the morning. He was filling in for me on Friday and Sunday. So it was good having Toby filling in for me. I appreciate that. All right, joining me now, been waiting to talk to this dude again here on 1250 AM The Fan. He goes by That Dude, as he was referenced back in the day on Twitter. Follow him at By Ryan Wood. He is Ryan Wood, Packers beat writer for the Green Bay Press Gazette. Good afternoon, Ryan Wood.
Sparky, how's it going, man?
I can't believe we're doing this. If you would have told me that this was going to eventually happen when it all went down, I would have said no chance this ever happens. But yet here we are, Ryan, and we're doing it.
Well, congratulations to you and your efforts. And plus, you know, first show on April 15th, you guys hit the tax deadline.
Yes.
So congratulations on your expediency.
Yes.
That's a show that's on top of things right there.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Lots to get into concerning the Packers. I first want to start out talking about this Packers defense. Jeff Hafley is the new defensive coordinator, of course, former Boston College head coach. He comes in. What players benefit the most from what he wants to do defensively with this team right now, Ryan?
Well, it better be Quay Walker. Any defensive coordinator, and Jeff Hafley happens to be the defensive coordinator, so Jeff Hafley comes in, starts watching cut-ups of this talent that he's inheriting, the players on the field, what they do well, what they don't. Quay Walker's going to stand out really quick because there's not a lot of off-ball linebackers built like Quay Walker with his size, his speed, that combination. How do you maximize him and get him out of this mold of read and react? Let him just go fly around. Let him use that size and that speed in space, which is what presumably a will linebacker in a 4-3 defense is designed to do. Let him get in space and let him make plays. It's got to start there. The good thing is you talk about who might be the best player on this Packers defense. It's probably Rashawn Gary. You're not changing much there from a 3-4 end or outside linebacker to a 4-3 end. It's not a wild transition for those edge guys. If not Rashawn Gary, Jaire Alexander, he's still going to play corner. So the changes that they're going to make structurally to the scheme you should only see benefit here with the players that are. And it doesn't mean that it's a complete product. They've got to obviously go through the draft, and there's some needs that they're going to have to fill. Obviously, safety. I don't see a strong side linebacker in a 4-3 on this defense right now. They're going to have to pick up somebody to play, even if it's 15 to 20% of the snaps, because they're going to be predominantly in nickel. They got to fill that role. They got to have someone play those 15, 20% of the snaps. So there's more work to be done here. But, yeah, there's a lot of good that should come out of this change, and I think it starts with Quay Walker.
You know, the crazy part about this is, going into last year, there wasn't expectations really with the offense, really wasn't any expectations with the team. Many people thought they'd finish last in the division. A lot of people thought, you know, if they won 7 games, that'd be a great year for them at that point with, you know, Jordan Love, a bunch of inexperience on offense. And obviously they overcame expectations. Jordan Love looked like a perennial Pro Bowler there in the second half of the year. He's about to get a huge contract extension. But now, because of all of that, expectations completely change. I mean, Jordan Love's talking about, hey, we want to go to the Super Bowl this year. Like, it's now. Like, we want to go now. This is our window now. And the Packers and Brian Gutekunst kindly, you know, respond by saying, okay, no problem. Here's Josh Jacobs. Here's Xavier McKinney at safety. And we'll go with you. Let's go do it now. Which, to me, puts a ton of pressure on Jeff Hafley to get this defense right, like, right away.
Well, firstly, they are in this Super Bowl or bust mode now, because it's all about the quarterback in this league. If you don't got a quarterback, you don't have a chance. I asked Xavier McKinney that point blank. I mean, obviously, the money is the draw if you're a free agent, especially a primary free agent. But how much of it was, you know, he's in New York. They've got Daniel Jones playing well for a year. They get to the playoffs that year, but mostly don't have a quarterback. Regardless of the fact that he's a top safety in the league, you can come to a team that has Jordan Love and has that quarterback. And he said, yeah, in this league, you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a chance. Players are aware of this, and everyone in the league now knows Jordan Love's on the radar. He's one of those guys that can put you in contention, that can get you within an eyelash of being there, because he did it last year in his first season as a starter. So now everything around Jordan Love has to shore up. You've got to have the supporting cast, like Aaron Rodgers did when they won a Super Bowl. Look, Aaron Rodgers was coming into his prime in 2010 when he was a year removed from his first MVP. He was ascending to that upper echelon in the league. But there was a lot of good. Clay Matthews, there was a lot of good around Aaron Rodgers. It wasn't just him, but they had the quarterback, and they were able to shore up everything else up on the roster. That's where the Packers are now with Jordan Love. They've got the quarterback. He has to continue to ascend, but they've got to shore up everything around him, because this is a new window. It's a dawning of a new Super Bowl contention opportunity in Green Bay. You have to make the right steps to be able to get over that hump.
I want to get your thoughts, Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette, on something that your counterpart, Rob Domofsky, said the other day, which is that he's heard from different people that apparently they think Zach Tom can be a Hall of Fame type center going forward. Now, I know this was met with a lot of negativity, and everybody's like, just leave him at right tackle. He's fine. Don't screw with it. I get it. But this is the same type of argument I've had forever, going back to when Mark Tauscher was playing. Like, I said when Tauscher was playing, this dude could be a Hall of Fame type guard. He's really good at right tackle, no question. But he could have been a Hall of Fame type guard. I said it over and over for his whole career. And they left him at right tackle because he was good, obviously. I love hearing inside that front office or whoever Rob is talking to, that's how they kind of think too. Of, yeah, he's really good there, but we think he could be next level at a different position. And now we'll see if they're not scared to move him off of that position to prove their point. What do you say to that idea of potentially moving him off of right tackle and then, more than likely, having to play an inexperienced guy at right tackle in his place?
Well, I've been saying this staunchly since week 10 last year. And, you know, we did a podcast after the Packers played the Steelers and lost, and Zach Tom played really well, gave up a sack, T.J. Watt, but otherwise played really, really well at right tackle. But just watch him. And the Packers, when they drafted Zach Tom, they said long-term, his best position might be center. So this isn't new. This is not something that just sprung up. And I, in that press box on that podcast, said, boy, you know, the money's at right tackle if you're a player. So, Zach Tom can play that position. There's no question about it. He can play at a fairly high level. But he can be a dominant interior lineman. And if you're looking for dominance from your line, I don't see how the best version, the best five, as Matt LaFleur likes to say, of this offensive line that it can possibly be doesn't include Zach Tom inside. That's the best version that you can get. What Zach Tom does is he gives Brian Gutekunst a ton of flexibility with when it comes to this draft, which is deep at tackle, but also deep on the inside. Best player available offensive line when his turn comes up on the clock, he doesn't have to pinpoint a position or two. He can just take the best lineman, and then you figure out what to do with Zach Tom after that. And that's, one, it's rare in this league, but it's something that the Packers have targeted specifically. I mean, Zach Tom is not the first on this line that gave that positional flexibility. It's Elgton Jenkins that can play all five, right? Now they got another one in Zach Tom that can play all five. Zach Tom's first career start to 2022 season in Washington was at left tackle. He had about 2 hours heads up because David Bakhtiari was supposed to practice all week. He was supposed to play left tackle that week against the Commanders. It was Zach Tom that ended up starting when he found out when he got to the stadium. He can play all five. So that positional flexibility really aids Brian Gutekunst when it comes to this draft. Are they going to go out and assertively try to move him inside? I don't know if I'd go that far because we haven't seen it yet. And it's, you know, Zach Tom's had two seasons now without playing inside. But I do think that the best version of this Packers offensive line includes Zach Tom on the interior.
You bring up a hell of a good point about the money, right? So from a Packer salary cap standpoint, makes a lot of great sense. You keep one of the best offensive linemen on your line at a more reasonable price than versus what you would have to pay him if he was at right tackle, a lot cheaper than if he was at left tackle. So it makes sense there. My thing is, going back to what we were talking about, which is, okay, Super Bowl contender, they're right there. Let's go. Time is now. If you move him inside, that means potentially we're talking about playing a rookie right guard and a rookie right tackle. Like, I don't like that thought at all. But then again, I was wrong on the wide receivers and tight ends being young and that, you know, necessarily not working for the whole year. But that to me is a big roll of a dice for a team that says they're trying to win now.
See, I don't see it as needing to be a rookie right tackle. Because that's the thing. This Packers offensive line has almost endless configurations because of the positional versatility they have, not just with one, but two players. I don't think they want to move Elgton Jenkins off left guard. But if they go out and they get a left tackle to be a starting left tackle at 25, they can move Rashid Walker to right tackle. They can move Zach Tom inside. There's so many ways that they can configure this offensive line to make sure that they maximize all the talent that they have because it is so versatile. It's going to come down to who the best player available is, or the best lineman available, whether that's an interior, whether that's a tackle, left or right, when they're on the clock. And that's a good position to be in because you're drafting talent at that point.
You know, Ryan Wood, we talk about this draft and needs. I think cornerback makes sense at 25. I don't think there's a safety worth taking at 25 at this point, but I think cornerback makes sense. I think offensive tackle, like we were just talking about, would make sense there at 25. But the more I do mock drafts, and we do one every Friday on our Curtis Long podcast, on our Mock Draft Friday, Ryan Horvath and myself, the more I think I would trade back if I was the Green Bay Packers. I do. If I could go from 25 to, say, 29 and pick up a second in 2025 or a third in 2025 and start stacking up picks for next year, I think I would do that. Because when you get to that point, unless somebody falls that should never have fallen, unless that happens, there's going to be a big group of players with similar talent in that area from like 25 to 35, maybe even down to 40, to where you can still get a really good player and still add assets for next year if you wanted to do it, or maybe pick up something for this year if you want to add to this year.
I think trades are going to be part of the equation for Brian Gutekunst in this draft. For one, we've seen that he loves dealing on draft day. He's done that historically since he took over and replaced Ted Thompson. He does not shy away from draft day trades. But two, this is the youngest roster in the NFL, and they have 11 picks, right? So I think trading up, and I'm not just saying first round, trading up in the second, third, fourth round, trading up at some point kind of makes sense, because when you have the youngest roster in the NFL, you have all this talent on rookie contracts, and now you're adding 11 picks. That's a whole lot to get on a 53-man roster. And so I think trading up makes sense. Now, if they get to 25 and they don't trade up in the first round, and there's a lot of players that Brian Gutekunst likes at that position, trading back wouldn't surprise me either. But I think it's just as likely that they trade out, whether it's up or back of that 25 spot, as it is that they sit there and they take a player at 25. That's optionality. You know, we talk about the offensive line having a lot of options there. Brian Gutekunst has a lot of options, and if he decides to take 11 players, Brian Gutekunst has been on an incredible heater when it comes to the draft these past couple years. Not the worst thing to just continue that heater with 11 picks either.
No doubt. And again, I mean, you think about it, 5 picks in the first 2 days of this draft. I mean, he should get 2-3 guys that probably make impacts this year, Ryan. I mean, is that too high of an expectation from me looking at 5 picks in the first 2 days of the draft as far as what he should get out of it?
No, I don't think that's too high of expectation. And when you really look at Brian Gutekunst, used free agency the best way that a GM can use free agency, because he went out there and he filled a glaring hole, right? Safety. I mean, he absolutely filled to the point where that work's not done. There's still a big question mark next to Xavier McKinney. But they have a whole lot more time and patience to fill that than if there's two question marks in the back end of your defense. No, they went out and they got Xavier McKinney. And then they went out and they got a younger, probably better, running back in Josh Jacobs. Nothing against Aaron Jones, but he had an injury-plagued season last season. He is turning 30 years old going into this season, at the end of this season, and they got younger with a guy who, oh, by the way, happened to win the NFL's rushing crown 2 years ago. So now, if you're Brian Gutekunst, you just filled two huge holes. Safety, the biggest hole that you have on your roster, through free agency. You minimized how much you need on this roster. You have to go out and fill by need, to the point where Brian Gutekunst can draft for talent. And he doesn't have to literally go after one position, say, write it on that post-it note the day of the draft, got to fill this position or else. He's not in that position. So it's drafting BPA. It's drafting best player available at a handful of positions, safety being one. I think the number one need, as it stands now on this Packers roster, is offensive line. I put it ahead of safety, ahead of corner, ahead of strong side linebacker. And the way I look at it is you have a potentially elite quarterback in Jordan Love. You have a potentially elite running back in Josh Jacobs. You have a potentially elite receiving core with the depth, the youth, the talent, the versatility from receiver to tight end around Jordan Love. Go and give yourself a potentially elite offensive line to fill that in on the offensive side, to give Jordan Love that protection, to give Josh Jacobs those running lanes. That, to me, is the biggest need. But it's not a dire need, because we just saw this Packers offensive line play at a very high level last year. So it's a handful of positions that Brian Gutekunst can survey, look around, okay, where's the best talent here? Where's the best value? And proceed accordingly.
They pick up Joseph as a field goal kicker, the former Vikings field goal kicker, to compete with Carlson. I was livid last year, as you well know, in the summer, when that was the only position the Packers did not bring any competition in for, was for him. That was the only long snapper had a challenger. Everybody had a challenger except Anders Carlson. I was beside myself. What are we doing? And again, it was, oh, it's easy. Well, they don't think they're going to be very good, so let them figure it out during the season. But then they were good. They had a chance to advance. And somebody, I don't know who it was, maybe you remember, somebody asked him about, you know, would you consider signing a kicker, a veteran kicker here for the playoffs? And Brian Gooden goes, oh, no. We're just going to ride it out with him. Okay, and he missed a kick, as we all thought he would, and now they bring Joseph in. Now, is this just for show, and Masacchi is going to get Carlson regardless of who they bring in, that's going to be his guy, or do we think this is a legitimate competition and Carlson may not be with the Packers?
You know, you're right with what you said. Last year, it was a rebuilding year a year ago, right? No one thought that they were, even inside 1265 Lombardi, nobody thought that they were going to be maybe a missed kick from the NFC Championship game against San Francisco.
Yep.
Nobody saw that coming. And by the time they did, it was too late. Because late in the season, it's tough to get impact talent that's available. Impact talent, even if it's kicker, no position, impact talent's not available late in the season. At that point, they didn't really have a choice. But now they know better. It's entirely different than it was a year ago. They are not rebuilding. They are in Super Bowl or bust mode. And so they know that the kicker's going to be awfully important. It's funny, I was down in Orlando at the NFL owners meetings last month, and we had a 25, 30 minutes with Brian Gutekunst. We had about the same time with Matt LaFleur. And after it was done, I thought to myself, nobody asked about the kicking situation. But you know what? No one has to. We know what it is. It's a genuine competition, and it's going to be a competition for Anders Carlson and any other person that wants to be their kicker for the Packers in 2024. Every day from now until final cuts, and maybe even through the season, it's going to be an open competition every day, and that's what you've seen. He's already signed two kickers since the season ended. If someone else becomes available, he's going to sign again. It might be a rotation, a revolving door at that position through this offseason. They're going to give Anders Carlson a chance, and they dearly want him to pan out, because anytime you use a draft pick on a specialist position, whether it's kicker or punter, you don't want that guy to bust. That's a premium asset, regardless of what round it is that you're using on that position. You want that guy to pan out, but if he doesn't pan out, they're not going to hesitate to go with a different kicker, whoever the best kicker is that gives them a chance, because they know that this season, at the end of it, big kicks are waiting, and they cannot botch 43-yard field goals with the season on the line.
Totally agree with you. He is Ryan Wood. Follow him on Twitter by Ryan Wood, that dude on 1250 AM The Fan. I appreciate you keeping up that up there while this whole thing played out. And we're back, so you're back to being that dude again. And I appreciate it, Ryan Wood.
Happy to fill that role, and happy talking to you again, man. Again, congratulations.
This Christmas, though, you are coming to see my Christmas trees.
You know, how many years are you trying to get me down there now?
It's been like 4 years now, I think. We're on in like year four.
How many are you up to now? Are you over 20 yet?
No. I don't know. We'll probably be around, I think we're adding two this year. So I think we'll be around 16 or 18 or something like that in the house this year. We're adding a blue one, and I think we may add an upside down black one.
Your rate of inflation is tempered a little bit. I'm weirdly surprised and happy to hear that you haven't hit the 20 yet.
No, haven't hit 20 yet, but I'm back on the air, so I can get a little more aggressive now. I feel better about things. Yeah, I feel better. Ryan, thank you. Yes, absolutely. Take care, buddy. There is Ryan Wood joining us to get Packers beat writer for the Green Bay Press Gazette. Follow him on Twitter at @BryRyanWood. By Ryan Wood. Brewers lineup is out. I got it for you. We'll tell you what it is coming up next. Plus, let's talk about pressure, shall we? That's next. Wisconsin Sports Daily here on 1250 AM. The Fan, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer with you.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Wisconsin Sports Daily, 1250 AM, The Fan, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer with you. First show. We are back doing local radio here on 1250 AM, The Fan. started doing post games after Bucks games on March 4th with the Potawatomi Sportsbook Pros post game show served up by Wendy's. Been having fun doing those. I have a bunch of different guests on over the course of time. If you missed any of it, go to your Odyssey app. Check it out there. Go to 1250amthefan.com. They're all there. Well, not all of them now because, you know, eventually they have to move off the website for the next one. But a lot of them are up there at 1250amthefan.com. Also, your chance to win Bucks tickets. You can do it online by simply going to 1250amthefan.com for the playoff game coming up this Sunday. This Sunday, Bucks Pacers, your chance to win those tickets by going to 1250amthefan.com. So take advantage of that. And as I've been saying this entire show, this is going to be a group effort by everybody. Understand, right? So everybody's going to have their part. I'm going to do my part to the best of my ability to do this sports talk show and do this talk show after Bucks games. You have to do your part if we want to bring this all the way back the way I think most of us do in spreading the word and telling everybody that you know that, hey, local sports talk back on 1250. My guy Sparky's on. You have never heard of him. Go check him out, man. It's a lot of fun. If you know anybody that wants to buy advertising, whatever the case may be, hey, man, let's go. Start ringing the phones. Let's go. Let's start spending some money. Let's make sure this thing comes all the way back to how it was. That's the goal, right? I mean, that's kind of the goal. So that's what I like, a group effort. As far as calls and stuff go, I want full phone lines. That's what I want. Every show, I want full phone lines, people calling in, going from one call to the next call to the next call to the next call. I want tweets and posts and all that stuff for me to read. Hey, a bunch of tweets today. I didn't get to nearly enough of them. But that's what I want. We'll have some guests too. But in 3 hours, I'm not going to jam this thing with like four or five guests. Like, that's not happening. Two guests will be the probably the maximum we're going to have unless something crazy is happening in the world of sports where I feel the need to have more than two. But two will probably be the maximum like we had today with Eric Name, Bucks beat writer for The Athletic, and then, of course, Ryan Wood, Packers beat writer for the Green Bay Press Gazette. I told you the Brewers lineup was out before that last break. It is no Christian Yelich in the lineup today. I said earlier, I thought with Joey Weimer getting called up that that may mean that Yelich, they think, might be headed for the IL. Well, he's not in the lineup again tonight, so we'll see how this plays out. Leading off, Mr. Chirio in right field. He's cooled off. William Contreras at catcher. He's batting second. He's been rolling. Sal Frelick in the three hole. Whew. Willie Adames cleaning up. Reese Hoskins at first. Terangs at short. Sanchez back at DH. He's had a moment or two so far. Blake Perkins, we'll see if he can stay going in center field. Joey Ortiz is at third, and Joe Ross is pitching. You know, real quick, there are people in Major League Baseball and fans that believe the Brewers have some type of secret sauce when it comes to figuring out pitchers and getting them fixed, right? So, let's take Joe Ross, for example. If Joe Ross was with the Nationals and so forth, if Joe Ross ends up being a legitimate starting pitcher in this rotation all year, and has like a 4 ERA or somewhere in that area, if that's what this ends up being, it's just going to add to it. I'm telling you. You hear guys they sign here that are pitchers, that are free agent pitchers, and it's because the Brewers have a track record of getting these guys going. See Wade Miley. The last time Wade Miley was here. There's something going on. Whatever it may be. Is it the pitching lab? Is it the pitching coach? Whatever it is. But if you're able to turn them into something usable at an inexpensive rate, that's a very, very valuable thing to have as an organization. Especially one that is cash-strapped, like the Brewers, when comparing them to, say, the Yankees or the Mets and so forth. So we'll see. Hopefully Joe Ross pitches well tonight. Hopefully they beat the Padres. Nobody likes Manny Machado. So we'll all be booing Manny Machado, I'm sure, again tonight at American Family Field. Looking forward to talking about that one tomorrow here on 1250 AM, The Fan. Okay, so we've talked Bucks. We talked Brewers in the 3 o'clock hour. I'm trying not to cough. Behind the scenes here, I'm having a horrible day with my allergies. And I've been like coughing constantly, wiping my nose. It's been brutal. But we're getting through. So, this is the question. We're going to go back to the Bucks. It's playoff time. We got to go back to the Bucks a little bit. I saw somebody tweet earlier today that they thought, and I don't remember who it was. I should really start saving these tweets so I can reference the correct person. They said that Doc Rivers had the most to prove in this series in the playoffs. I don't know if I agree. So that's the question. Who has the most to prove in the playoffs for the Milwaukee Bucks? Who has the most to prove in the playoffs for the Bucks? And you could pick player, coach, whatever. 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. Tweet us at 1250 AM The Fan. Now, Doc Rivers last won a championship when some of your kids weren't even alive. They hadn't even been born yet. That was the last time Doc Rivers won a championship with the Boston Celtics. KG, Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, Rondo. That was the last time he won. Has he won in the playoffs? Well, what do you mean by winning in the playoffs? Define that for me, right? So does winning the playoffs meaning winning series in the playoffs? Then yes, he's won the playoffs. Does winning the playoffs mean winning a championship? No. Does winning in the playoffs mean getting to an NBA Finals? No. What Doc Rivers has been known for is choking in the playoffs, right? Being up 3-1 and having a slip away. And having talented teams, right? Philadelphia, Embiid, and Harden had talent with the Clippers. Couldn't figure it out. When they hired Doc on the Green and Growing podcast with Nathan Marzion that I do, I said at that point, they essentially hired Boonholzer. Essentially what we did. They're not the same type of coach necessarily, but they both can't figure out how to win in the playoffs. What we didn't know then when Doc won was maybe they won in spite of Doc. Maybe that's what happened. The Bucks, while Bud deserves a ton of credit, because that team made adjustments within series. Now, in the beginning of each series, they were awful the first couple of games. But then they figured it out, Bud and his coaching staff, and they won. And they had some breaks, right? I mean, guys got hurt on other teams, the whole Durant foot thing, whatever. But maybe you could say that was the one time Bud's going to win a championship. And maybe there was so much talent they won despite Bud. I'll always say the Kansas City Royals won a World Series despite Ned. Now, I've been told by Josh Vernier, who was one of the original members of the Big Show with Gary Ellerson and myself, that Ned changed when he got to Kansas City. That he's told me this numerous times. Sparky's not the same guy. He's not nearly the same guy. He's completely changed from what he was in Milwaukee. So that may be unfair. But that's kind of what it was. Because lots of times, second half collapses in Milwaukee were a thing under Ned. Call him Nervous Ned. I mean, that was just a thing. Good in the regular season, then came really crunch time, won the same guy. So when they hired Doc, that's what I thought it was. I was like, well, they could have just kept Bud. Like, if this was what it was going to be, then why bother? And furthermore, why didn't you have Doc in your final three to begin with? You put Adrian Griffin in there over him. Like, why? If I was Doc, I'd be like, so why again didn't I get this job? I don't understand. Clearly, you wanted Nick Nurse to get it, and Giannis told you no, so that we want that plan. But why wasn't I on it after that? I don't know if he's the one. I have somebody else in mind. Who is the most approved in the playoffs for the Bucks? What say you? 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. Doug in Racine, you're next on 1250 AM The Fan. Wisconsin Sports Daily with me, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. What's up, Doug?
Hey, long time bark caller in the morning and little Romney, but I'm glad you're back.
Appreciate it.
Gives me something to listen to on the way to work besides the national broadcast crap.
Doug, where you work, man? Where are you working in Racine nowadays?
I work in Menomonee Falls, so I got a 45-minute drive.
Yeah.
But I knew 3 and 4 12s, and then I do 2 weeks from home, so it's not too bad.
Oh, okay, good.
But I just, I think you're talking Bucks, who has something to prove?
Who has the most to prove on this Bucks team right now? Yeah. Coach, players, who?
I think Damian Lillard needs to come on and give us something. But do you think because of the playoffs and it gets rougher that we have a better chance to slow it down and get rougher with Beverly and them and really show something? Because I always hated the playoffs because they would change the reffing mentality. So I think our team has a better shot at it being slower and tougher and, you know, less fouls called. So I think we got a team built for that, you know.
I think that's a great point, Doug. I do. Thanks for the call. Don't be a stranger. I think that is a great point as far as how things change when the playoffs start. We'll talk more about that coming up next. Jay in West Milwaukee, you'll be up next, and still room for you if you want to hop aboard. 414-677-1250. Who has the most to prove in the playoffs for the Bucks? Some say it's Doc Rivers. You agree, or do you think it's somebody else? Doug thinks it's Damian Lillard. I'll tell you who I think it is coming up next here on Wisconsin Sports Daily on 1250 AM, The Fan. Wisconsin Sports Daily on 1250 AM. The Fan, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer with you. How are you doing here on a Monday, tax day? I'm assuming your taxes are in, hopefully. Hopefully for your sake, your taxes are in. I don't know about the rest of y'all. I like getting mine done and out of the way quickly. Now, again, I am fortunate enough to, I've never really owned a ton of money in my life ever. So those of you that, you know, own businesses and whatever else, and y'all got to pay, that I get waiting to the very last second. Like, I totally am on board. I would totally do the same thing. I totally get it. No questions about that. So, yeah. So, tax day, first day for Wisconsin Sports Daily. Thanks, everybody that's called in, been a part of it. Don't forget your chance to win Bucks playoff tickets for Sunday's game at 1250amthefan.com. Again, coming up for this Sunday's game. So make sure to do that. Asking you, who has the most approved in the playoffs for the Bucks? Is it Doc Rivers or is it somebody else? Doug and Racine called in earlier tonight. He thinks it's Damian Lillard. What about you? 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. Tweet us at 1250 AM The Fan. Jay, West Milwaukee, you're next on Wisconsin Sports Daily with me, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. What's up, Jay?
Hey, Sparky, how you doing? Thanks a lot for taking my call. Appreciate it. I agree with the last caller. I think it's Damian Lillard as well that has the most to prove. I kind of have an old school train of thought, I guess. And the way my mind works is I'm just skeptical on, if you're not really considered a two-way player, I'm just kind of skeptical on, you know, how that impacts the team. And considering the trade that we made for Lillard, getting rid of Holiday, as well as Grayson Allen, who's playing a big part on Phoenix right now, those are like two pretty premier perimeter defenders. And when you're exchanging that for somebody who's not known for having very much of a prowess on defense, I think it causes a lot more problems than people realize.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. When we did a post-game show earlier this week on Tuesday, and Charlie Houston, who's producing for me, him and I were going back and forth about the Damian Lillard contract versus the Drew Holiday contract extension that Holiday just got with the Celtics last week. And Holiday is making about $20 million less a year than Damian Lillard. Holiday gets to free agency his age 38 year. Lillard gets to free agency his age 37 year. And when we were having the conversation, Charlie Houston said to me, he said, you know, Drew Holiday makes everybody around him better, not necessarily offensively, but defensively. And he pointed out Brooke Lopez is here defensively, pointed out Giannis and the impact he's had on the defensive end this year and how it's changed without Drew Holiday.
Yeah. I mean, that's a very interesting point. And, I miss guys like PJ Tucker as well. You know, I mean, guys that were just premier defenders. And, I mean, you can see I'm more biased towards guys that really go all out on both ends of the floor. And I guess I just see a lot of concern with that. And I mean, I understand the trade. I mean, we got the firepower. We got a premier scorer and a guy that can, you know, kind of take it one-on-one and create his own shots, and also known for being a clutch guy. So, I mean, I get it on both ends of the spectrum. I guess I just wish there was more defense involved in this game. And, I mean, I think he's got a lot to prove. And, you know, he's coming to a championship or close to a championship caliber team. And, you know, he's the piece that expected to bring it over the top. So, I mean, I feel like there's a lot of pressure on him.
Jay, thanks for the call. So I'll answer this part of it. Still room for you if you want to chime in, whether you think it's Lillard, Doc, maybe you think it's somebody else. Who is the most approved in the playoffs for the Bucks? 414-677-1250. Tweet us at 1250 AM The Fan. Don't forget, make 1250 a preset in your car kind of going forward. Appointment listening. Maybe put a calendar reminder on your phone. 2 o'clock. Turn on Sparky on 1250. That would work too. Wisconsin Sports Daily. Damian Lillard has had pressure on him all year. So what we're talking about here in the playoffs is who has the most to prove in the playoffs for the Bucks. So Doc Rivers, this may be it. This may be his last job. It's probably curtains after this, I'm guessing. Maybe he's around 70 years old, somewhere in that area. So this very well may be it for Doc. And if it is, dude, he's had a hell of a career. I mean, if you think from a player standpoint, from playing in college, in the pros, he was a heck of a basketball player. Then you transition from that, get yourself into coaching, got an NBA championship, nobody can take that away from you, got that ring, right? Coach numerous teams. All of his teams were playoff teams. Never really got in a position where he had to coach some garbage team like the Pistons or something where you were awful. So, had a heck of a run. Now, people are going to have their negative things to say, you know, about, you know, not finishing and so forth, whatever. But if I'm Doc Rivers, I'm fine going to sleep at night. Like, I've had a hell of a life. I'm good. No worries here. So, pressure? I don't think he feels any pressure. Maybe he does. Maybe I'm wrong. This is it for him. So if he wins a ring on the way out, great. If he doesn't, fine. Go sit in the TV booth. Does he want to win another ring on the way out? Of course he does. Everybody that coaches wants to win a championship. Let's take it further. I don't care what level you're at. If you're coaching 8U baseball, you want to win your championship. You do. And if you don't, then you probably shouldn't be coaching that 8U baseball team. You want to win, right? If you're coaching middle school bowling, you want to win your championship, whatever that may be. If you're coaching high school rugby, whatever, you want to win your club championship. That's just what it is. So I'm not saying he doesn't want to win, but I don't think there's pressure. Like, in Doc's mind, I'm sure he doesn't have to prove himself to anybody. Y'all can question me. Y'all can hate on me all you want. I know how good I am. I know what I've done. I'm comfortable in my skin. And just listen to Doc Rivers talk at a post-game press conference. And you tell me there's anybody more comfortable in their skin than Doc Rivers. I mean, that man could teach a master class on how to run a post-game press conference. He is from a media perspective, which I am, he is a joy to listen to. And I think, from a fan perspective, he should be a joy to listen to. He gives you more information than probably any coach you're going to listen to after a game. He just opens it all up. Here you go. This is what I asked for. This is what they did. This is an issue again. We got to work on it. Like, it's just all right there. It's all right there. Remember, what was it? A few days ago, before that calf strain with Giannis, he literally got up in the post-game presser, and that man said that he was talking with the trainer and the guys saying, are you sure he's all right? Like, don't you think maybe we should sit him? Oh, no, he's good, he's good. Doc said he asked like 2 or 3 times. They kept telling him he was fine. Then Doc said in the post-game presser, I should have just pulled him. And I believe Doc's line was, I have eyes too. And he knew something was wrong. And he didn't get hurt that game. But he got hurt shortly after that. So, again, How many coaches are going to do that? Coaches that don't worry about what others think. Don't worry about what their bosses think about what they say. They're comfortable in who they are. They've got that resume established, right? So I don't think there's pressure on Doc. Internal pressure from Doc. Damian Lillard? Oh, I think that's real. I do. And that man has been through a lot this year. So maybe at this point, it's not as crazy strong as maybe it would be next year, the year after that, because he's gone through a lot. Never been traded before in his career, living way far away from his kids for the first time and his family. The divorce that got out, because, of course, you're a public figure, so everything gets out. So he's had to go through that, taking personal days away from the team, trying to sort things out. Dude's got a lot going on, man. Changing coaches midseason. Thought he was going to have his former head coach as his assistant coach to kind of help him into this team and run an offense that he knows. That dude quits and walks away, and Terry Stotts. By the way, that was a huge red flag when it happened. So, been through a lot. But make no mistake, of everybody in this organization, the most pressure is on Damian Lillard. Because to this point, Damian Lillard can always say, I never had the best. I never had a guy at my level to play with. LeBron had Wade. I didn't have that. LeBron had Kyrie. Never had that. LeBron had Anthony Davis. Nope. He didn't. And now, he's got a guy as a multiple MVP, defense player of the year, most improved player. Man's won every award known to man in Giannis, who is in the prime of his career. It's not an old player at the end that you're playing with, right? It's not Shaq in Miami with Wade. Which, by the way, Wade never gets enough credit for that. And he deserves way more credit for that championship in Miami with Shaq than he ever gets. So way more credit than he gets. Because that was Shaq at the end. And he deserves way more credit. But either way. So he's got Giannis in his prime. If he doesn't win a championship with Giannis in his prime, then all eyes are going to be on Dame. And it's unfortunate. Right? We're being real. Man's coming up towards the end of his career now. What's he got left? 4 years? 5 years maybe? Somewhere in that area, and it's over. So his window is short. So you want to talk about pressure? That man, I'm sure, internally, is feeling the pressure. That inside the NBA and TNT, with Charles Barkley and Shaq and Kenny Smith. Charles Barkley is such a glaring example of what you do not want to have yourself in the middle of. Because literally, Barkley can say whatever he wants, and Shaq's just like, dude, you don't want to rank, shut up. Right? I mean, that's the end of the argument. What's Charles going to say? It's all done. It's over. Nobody that is as great as Charles Barkley was, or as Damian Lillard has been, wants to be that guy in that conversation. When you go into the Basketball Hall of Fame, which he will, Lillard will, you don't want to be the guy that didn't win a championship and everybody's asking you, man, you know, how much do you regret not winning a championship? Would you have done something differently? That's always going to be the talking point with him forever if he does not win a ring before this thing ends. This is all about trying to win one. And I don't think it's now for him. Next year, after he's had a full training camp, all that other stuff he's kind of become accustomed to, and he's able to figure things out and have a normal year for himself, then I think it's there. Right now, this year has not been Damian Lillard, Portland type year, in my opinion, at all. Ups and downs. Hey, look at yesterday. It was horrible. It was horrible shooting night. He can't have that in the playoffs. If he has horrible shooting nights like that in the playoffs, they're going to lose games like that. They're not beating Indiana without Giannis and Lillard playing like that. Done. Cannot happen. If Giannis can't play in that Indiana series, and we don't know yet, if he can't play, Lillard's got to average, what, 30, 32, 34 points a game? Something like that. And it's not going to, and not 32, 34 points a game and you know, shoot 28%. No. He's got to average that and shoot 43, 45% and be efficient in doing it. That's how this has to go. Now, whether or not, you know, they can make this work, I don't know. We're going to find out. But I think that's where the pressure is. It's definitely on Damian Lillard. I don't think it's on Doc. There's no way there's any pressure necessarily at this point on John Horst yet. Pressure's coming for Horst. But it's not going to be until after next year. You know, if they get bounced early this year and they get bounced early next year, then there'll be a GM watch going on at that point. Because then I think John will be on the hot seat. And then there's going to be talk of change and maybe they should do something different. You know, he's had all these opportunities and they haven't even sniffed an NBA Finals since they won the last one. Then I think there's legitimate conversation about John Horst's job. Right now, there should be none. The man pulled off a trade for a top 75 player. Leave the man alone. Man's doing fine. Man did his job. You know, it's going to be a big, big offseason for him if they screw this up as far as what he does with the roster. But as of right now, no. John Horst has done an amazing job and deserves credit. And Peter Fagan is his tag team partner, and Fagan deserves credit for everything that they've been able to put together in Milwaukee since they've all been here and working together and so forth. That downtown, Milwaukee, a lot of that is because of these guys. Lazary and Edens and all those guys. The development of that downtown Milwaukee, whether you like their political views or not, I don't care. Fact is, that downtown development did not start going until they showed up and decided they were going to change downtown Milwaukee. Starting buying properties up, deciding to get involved in all these different projects around the city, helping to bring companies in. Huge part of what has happened to transform downtown Milwaukee. So, just wanted to point that out as well. All right, that'll do it here for the first edition of Wisconsin Sports Daily. Steve Sparky, Fiverr, Charlie Usen, other side of the glass producing the show. Charlie, I will say this. I think you did a really good job today. Show number one. I mean, you just got out of college in what, December? I mean, so you're a newbie. You've been kicking butt on the post-game show. Job well done, my friend.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, very good. See, now you hear what Charlie sounds like, and you'll hear more of him going forward. He'll be on there quite a bit as we go here. Enjoy the rest of your day. All of this stuff will be posted up later tonight at 12:50 a.m. TheFan.com or on your Odyssey app. Tomorrow afternoon, 2 to 5, we're back at it again. Enjoy the rest of your day. Tools!
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.